Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and it's a pleasure I know it's a dream come true for you to be part of mine, right? Well, that's the story I'm sticking to, and it's always fun to be able to do what I do, and because I get to introduce you to some really smart people. And someone that I'm going to reintroduce you to, because I've introduced her to you many times in the past, and hopefully I will do that many times in the future. Terry Neese is our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Nobody works harder in the marketplace on behalf of women, especially women business owners. She's the founder, co-founder of Women Impacting Public Policy. That's how we first knew her. She's now president and CEO of the Institute for Economic Empowerment of Women. She's a distinguished fellow with the NCPA, an organization that we think a lot of around here, and she's just a very important person in the life of the United States and a great American, our friend Terry Neese. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, Jim. It is great to be with you this morning.
It's always a pleasure, and I'm so glad to see that you're associated and have been now for a year or so with the NCPA. John Goodman does a wonderful job down there. My audience knows a lot about the NCPA because we've introduced a lot of their folks there to them, and you're in some good company down there with John and with Governor Pete DuPont and with Bob McTeer and all the other folks down there. I want to say congratulations to John on getting you, making you part of his team.
Well, thank you. We're really doing some interesting work and some very dynamic work in Washington, and offering up ideas to Congress that they're beginning to listen and they're beginning to take us up on and move on some of this family-friendly policies that we've put forward. So I'm thrilled to be with NCPA and so happy to have the opportunity to work with all of them.
Well, let's talk about some of these family-friendly things. You and John actually wrote an article in your brief analysis called Five Family-Friendly Policies, and you want to make sure that the candidates know about these, don't you?
We do. We have sent these five family-friendly policies to Senator Obama and Senator McCain, encouraging them to endorse all five of these issues. And, you know, working women are key to any election, and women make up 54% of the electorate. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the things they really need. They need flexible benefits. They need flexible workplaces. They need portable health insurance. Not only women, but women and men need portable health insurance.
That's right.
So all of these things that we are working on don't just impact women. They impact women and their families.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're beginning to crack the door open. And Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers, who is...
From what state?
Washington State.
Right.
Kathy has really opened the door to listen. She's held a couple of congressional briefings on these issues. She's authored legislation on some of these issues, and in fact, there was American Families Agenda that was offered up in May out of the Congress that had a number of our issues in the agenda. So we're moving, Jim, and it feels really good.
Well, let's talk about and congratulations, folks. As I said before, Terry works tirelessly on these issues and has been now for a long, long time. And she is the person that people think about when they think about somebody fighting for women's issues, whether the women be employees or business owners. Let's talk about some of these family-friendly policies, I should say. The first one that you identify in your article is make employee benefits more flexible. Now, tell us what that means.
Yeah, you know, employee benefits law tends to be pretty rigid. But in general, employees cannot choose between taxable wages and non-tax benefits. So let me give you a quick example. Let's say you're a part-time worker and you really need benefits. And so right now you don't have the luxury of going to your employer and saying, you know what, I'll take less money on a part-time mm-hmm. basis, but I want a good benefit package. Put me in your benefit package. What you offer to one must be offered to all. But it just doesn't work. And so the employee benefits laws that were written in the 1930s don't apply to today.
Not only 20th century, folks, they're almost 19th century.
Yeah, exactly.
And the world has changed in quantum leaps since those laws were written. And it's mind-boggling to me, Terry, that here we are in 2008. We're not just in the 21st century, folks. We're almost 10% into the, you know, fully into the century, and we still are operating. We're still managing our businesses with tax code and human resource policies that are generations old, not just a little bit old.
Right, and so ideally, employees should be able to trade taxable wages for non-taxed benefits.
So here's the thing, a woman is making, you know, whatever, but she's working part time, so she's not getting any tax benefits, and she's having to take her after tax money and then go buy benefits.
That's right.
And so if she could reduce the money she was making as salary, and have that paid to her in the form of benefits, those would come to her without tax.
That's correct.
Yeah. And it would be the same deductibility for the employer.
That's right. And so what is wrong with that? I mean,
there's nothing. Well, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
It's 21st century. Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's one. Number two is make employee benefits portable.
Yeah, you know, in the 1930s, we had one career, and we stayed on that career for a lifetime.
Our parents did, for sure, didn't they?
Yeah, that's not the case today. I mean, the average is somewhere around 7 jobs in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really critical that we have portable insurance. And individually owned health insurance is portable. But employers can't pay premiums for individually owned insurance for their employees with untaxed dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Employees, if they pay their own premiums, they have to pay those premiums with after-tax dollars.
Right, right.
So at a minimum, I mean, the tax treatment of group and individual health policies has just got to be equalized.
But now, if I contribute to my employee's health savings account, I can deduct that, can't I?
You know, I'm not.
But not a lot of companies are doing that. I do that.
I'm not sure of the answer to your question. I can certainly find out, but that's just one thing though. Right.
That's one option is the health savings account. But and those are, as you know, are very, very, very new. In fact, as you pointed out to me earlier, John Goodman is the father of that.
That's correct, of
that idea. You're the founder of NCPA. Let's take a quick break. Terry, stand by, folks. We'll be right back. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. A lot more to come right after these messages.
One more thing.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, Little Chicago, bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. We like it when you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. Terry Neese has deposited lots of valuable information with us over the years, and she's got some more good stuff for us right now. Terry's president and CEO of the Economic Empowerment Institute for Economic Empowerment of Women, founder of WIP, Women Impacting Public Policy, distinguished fellow with the NCPA. Terry, you want to give us a website or two?
Absolutely, www.ncpa.org. And I have a blog. Please go on and state your case. Let me know what's bothering you in your small business.
Is your blog at ncpa.org?
It is.
Okay, so check it out, folks. Terry Neese, very important message that Terry has. Whatever she has to say is always the best. Terry, back to these. I want to get through with these points here before we run out of time. Make employee benefits portable was the second one. And, folks, this you're not helping your employees these days if you give them rigid benefits that are tied to your employment, because you're not going to keep them forever, and they need to be able to take those things and move around. And this is something. This is a huge political divide between the two parties right now, Terry.
That's correct. And
I mean, this is what you're talking about here is the opposite of what Obama is proposing with his health care plans.
Well, Senator Obama and Senator McCain both should endorse these five family-friendly policies, and we're pushing in that direction to make sure. You know, Obama's embraced one or two of these. McCain has embraced one or two of these. They need to embrace all of them.
That's exactly right. Number three is make wage and hour laws more flexible. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, hourly workers have very little flexibility with respect to work, and the traditional 40-hour work week is that's not happening anymore.
Right.
But men and women would choose compensatory time off in lieu of overtime wages if they could. Mm-hmm. In other words, they take a day off to take a child to a soccer game or a sick parent to the hospital,
right,
and they can't make the hours up the following week. So they would choose compensatory time in lieu of overtime wages. And let me just say that the federal government, our elected officials, gave federal workers this option in 1978. They can take compensatory time off in lieu of overtime wages.
But they won't let us have it.
But the private sector can't have it.
What's wrong with that picture, ladies and gentlemen?
What is up with that?
Does that not make, even if you're not, you don't fit into one of these categories Terry's talking about, that ought to make you angry.
It should. And so at a minimum, allow hourly employees in the private sector to have the same choices as federal government employees. And I'm hot about that one. Obviously.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I'm passionate about that.
I agree with you. All right, number four is tax fairness for working spouses.
Yeah, when a man or woman goes back to work after staying home with a child or taking care of a parent, they go back into the marketplace. A second earner enters the labor market. They're taxed at their spouse's marginal tax rate, even if they earn only the minimum wage.
So if a minimum wage spouse has a high-earning husband or wife, then basically they're working for taxes.
That's exactly right. So the
happy birthday to the government.
That's the second worker in a middle-income family typically keeps about 35 cents out of every dollar.
Mm.
So we need to allow married couples that file jointly, they should be able to file as a single person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if that worker, I mean, we just have to equalize this, that the workers with similar incomes pay comparable taxes.
Especially when one of the reasons why that mother might be doing that is because she's probably underemployed.
Right.
And the reason she isn't underemployed is because she's got family responsibilities that need her attention, and this is good for everybody.
That's right. And, you know, she is usually the caregiver of the family.
Yep. And so she's the one who's more likely to be underemployed for a period of time.
Right.
And this is good. And I like the way you continue to couch this, Terry, in terms of being family friendly. We need, America sorely needs more family in its life.
That's right.
And anything we can do that makes it easier for families to do what families are supposed to do, we need to be doing that. That's good policy, and it's the right thing to do.
No, that's right. And that rolls right into the last one, number five, tax fairness for stay-at-home parents.
Yeah.
You know, we ought to allow spouses who do stay home and they save for retirement or they purchase health insurance or whatever, that they have just as much tax relief as people who get those benefits at work.
Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? How do we make all this happen?
Well, we have to continue to raise our voice. We have to bring these issues to the forefront in Congress. Many congressmen and women have never thought about this. And when they do, it's a no-brainer. They all understand that we have to unleash the benefits laws, the tax laws, and the labor laws from 1930s, and bring them into the 21st.
Why do we keep trying to jury rig to rig up old laws and make them work in the new century? Why don't we just get some new ones? I mean, I don't understand this, Terry.
Well, there's always opposition to change. You know, there's somebody out there that's always opposed to change. But
Terry, you're in Oklahoma a lot of the time, and so you know as well like I know, we're not in Kansas anymore.
No. That's correct.
Toto.
That's right.
Hey, Terry, thanks for being here. Good job today. Let's do it again real soon.
Okay, let's do. And Terry, you take care, Jim. Have a great day.
Terry Neese, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.